You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thanks for joining me on another episode. What number are we at? This is episode number 29. Number 29. Been a little while, but I'm back at it. I'm recording here at my home away from home, the beautiful campus of Brooklyn College. Special shout out to all the students here letting me run through and use the facilities. You can check them out at my WBCR. Wanted to run through a few topics, and I definitely needed some help. Called on my right-hand man, my former teammate, the Island Boy, Derrison, D.A. Anthony. D.A., what up?
Wagwan, man.
you got your Island vibes on early today, son. That's what's up, man. It's been a minute, son. What you been up to? I know you in here got a sore foot and everything. Let the folks back home know you all right.
Man, I'm good, man. Life. I got life. Bless.
Y'all bless for real, son. Let's get into it real quick. Now, D.A., you are somebody that I reach out to quite often when it comes to sports. I'm asking you every night, like, yo, D.A., what are you even watching? Because a lot of what I see out there is reality TV disguised as sports. You know, people complaining, belly aching. I see a bunch of underachieving, underperforming. And I want to start at the top of the NBA, and that's with the Golden State Warriors. Now, don't get me wrong, still a very talented team, probably still going to win the championship, but I don't see that same joy and enthusiasm that we have come to enjoy from them over the last couple of years. I mean, they were a team that won, they broke the record for what, 73 wins in the season, and that was before they added Kevin Durant and Boogie Cousins, right? So we no longer see that joy. They just going through the motions. It's not what we used to seeing. They're 3-5 in the last 8 games. They just got smacked by the Celtics by 20-plus points at home. And, D.A., I think I can point to the instance where this happened. And I want to go back a little ways, back in November, when Draymond and Kevin Durant had their little spat. Now, the media thought it was a big deal. I thought it was a big deal, but you thought otherwise. Yo, D.A., take me back to that incident with Draymond and KD and how you felt about it.
Playing sports myself, like, I just know these things happen. Like, we argue all the time. You know, it's almost impossible to go through a whole season, 2-3 seasons, and not having an altercation within your teammate. Like, I've never played on a team and, you know, just agree with everything everybody says. Like, this is garbage. So it was kind of, you know, uncharacteristic to see it play out on the court like that. It was very unprofessional. But these things do happen. I thought, and it was the good thing about it happened early in the season. And they were stuck together. They had to play out the season. So I thought they would get over it. I mean, I think they got over it. But yeah, I don't think it was a big deal. I mean, it was a good story. It was something to talk about. But I don't think it was. We probably argued a little bit. I thought you should have been there. I thought you should have cut. I wasn't pleased with every single thing you did.
But we did argue. And you mentioned, yo, you should have caught that pass. But when I first heard this story, this was a major, major deal. When I first heard this was the end of the Warriors as we knew it. Not because they had a spat. As you mentioned, those happened in basketball. It was because of what was said. What was reported that transpired. The story that came out said, KD went to Draymond and said, yo, dog, why you ain't pass me the ball? Draymond's response was, you a bitch, and we wouldn't win without you. We don't care what you do in free agency. Huh? That got nothing to do with this play. D.A., if you ask me, yo, Will, why you didn't pass me the ball? And my response was, you a bitch, and oh, yeah, that's why your country was ravaged by hurricanes. That's beyond the context of basketball, son. And you know what? It lets me know how you felt about me this whole time. So you thought I was a bitch this whole time. You thought this team was better without me this whole time. So when we were in the club, drinking a little bit, playing with the girls, when we was on the plane playing cards, playing dominoes, and we was laughing and giggling, no, You thought that's how you felt about me this whole time. So somebody I thought was my friend is an imposter. That's a whole lot different than, yo, son, you should have cut, get your ass over there.
Nah, your true feelings are revealed, and we could never come back from that.
I mean, we gonna see.
Nah, I think we have seen. This KD came out the other day, DA. He said, this is what he said in an interview. He said, I don't need anything in this basketball world to fulfill anything in me. Yo, wasn't KD the kid that we loved because he just loved the game so much? When LeBron James and them was out there doing all type of business, he was the kid that showed up at Rucker Park and scored 66 points. Mm-hmm. And now the game don't fulfill him? What else he said? What's important to him? Being around family, being around friends, the people who actually love you deep down to your core, who won't judge you, who will let you grow mentally, physically, you know? This is from the kid who loved basketball, son. That's been his identity his whole career. And now he get up on those press conferences. He's miserable. He's saying LeBron James is toxic around him. He's just frustrated because the people he thought had his back revealed their true feelings, man. KD is a man without a country right now, without a true team. Draymond undressed him. That's why we see this version of the Warriors that we're not used to seeing. You can't say stuff like that, bro. He asked you about a simple play on a basketball court, and you going to talk to me about free agency? Like, huh? What? You been a bitch this whole time? Nah, son. This the end. KD done with the Warriors. They probably still gonna win because they just that talented. But that love that we seen, that joy that we used to tuning in, that we stayed up late to watch those West Coast games, it's finished.
You know, even watching the game against the Celtics, he was just look like he was jogging up and down, like he's just not looking interested. KD was.
Who's that?
KD. He was just not interested. I was like, you know, you play and it's a blowout, and you know you just don't have it today. But like they just wasn't trying. I was like, they just like, man, it's like the first quarter. You know, they came down from like a 11-0, you know, hole, and they just trying to come back. And then Steph had like 7 straight points. And then you could see they're trying, but KD was just like, man, we ain't got it today. He would miss a shot or make a bad pass, and he would just walk back up the court. And I was like, man, I actually turned off the game. I was like, it's a blowout. It was like the second quarter. I was like, yeah, the game had no flow. Like, they was not even trying. I knew they was going to get blowout.
Why do you think that is? KD, somebody that we known for having that enthusiasm. In fact, when he left the Thunder, one of the reasons he did so, he looked from afar at the Golden State Warriors and he said, man,
it should look fun.
That team is, they really together.
Yeah.
They really a unit. They really brothers. They really got each other's back. DA, right. We done fought night and day on that basketball court, but when it spill over into something that is not even present, like, when I first saw that, I said, that's it. And I reached out to you, and you was like, yo, Will, it's just basketball content. I was like, yo, DA, that's something a little different, man. I wanted to move on to another part of the NBA drama, and that is the talented young man for the New Orleans Pelicans, Anthony Davis. Now, this dude finally came out and said he wanted to be traded. The trade didn't go through. And then he sat for an extended time. The story was, we're not sure if he's going to play. He might play. Now he got a minutes restriction. Yo, DA, as an NBA fan, somebody who has the league pass, who watches all these guys, like, what do you make of that whole situation?
It's just unfortunate. You know, I don't understand it. Even with the playing time stuff, I was like, yo, why is he playing 20 minutes? Like, why is he just not playing at all then? Like, why are you suiting up, play, get 20 points, get hot, and then crunch time, you can't play. I don't understand what they, you know, the Pelicans are doing and what he's doing. Like, I would have been like, yo, either I'm playing or not. Like, I'm not. It's like they're asking him to play one foot in, one foot out. The whole situation is bizarre to me. I've heard people call out, you know, ask to be traded. But just the way they did it. Like, his agent came out the next morning and was like, yeah, I told ESPN we want to trade. I was like, what? Like, that's supposed to be between you and the team. Like, why we got to throw that in the media?
Right.
Like, why's the pressure? Why you put me in a chokehold? Basically, so now I told you about the trade. I told ESPN. Everybody knows I demanded the trade. I didn't get that. That was so unprofessional. You know, and AD looks like a cool kid. Like, I never see that coming from him. Right. Like, he acts like he don't even want to be traded. He's just on the bench. He laughs at everybody. He holding the coach's clip. You know, I was like, yo, what is he doing? Is either you in or you're not, you out.
Yo, I got no issue with the guys demanding a trade. You know, that's their prerogative. Mm-hmm. What my problem is, you know, the NBA is a league that has helped young black men get things they would have never been able to get, go on to be entrepreneurs, raise their family, make a living, all that great stuff. But these young men have to also be responsible. They have to also take up the mantle of protecting the game. You cannot just continue to pull from the league. You have to pay it forward, right? You have to respect your fans. And my problem is when they start to disrespect the fan. Okay? AD, there's somebody in New Orleans who brought a season ticket packet expecting you to play every day, right? So if you're not traded, you still got to show up every day, right? Because if not, you're robbing those fans, and you cannot continue to spit in the face of your fans without facing repercussions, right? NBA, TNT, ESPN, these guys are your partners that pay top dollar. TNT says, yo, let me get that Thursday night matchup, Lakers versus Pelicans, so I can get Bron versus AD. They pay big money to get those games, and then you don't show up, or you only play 20 minutes. The league is going to have to pay for that at some point, and the players are going to have to pay for that as well, right? If not now, it's going to be the next TV contract. It's going to be the next sponsorship deal, right? You spitting in the face of your fans, and that is going to crush the game. The NBA is in a healthy place today because that came off the back of what Magic and Bird did, what Michael did, what Kobe did, what Allen Iverson did. So these guys today, they're reaping the benefits. But I don't know if the league is going to be that healthy the next time around because you guys continue to take, but you don't want to pay it forward, son. You cannot show up or not show up and, oh, yeah, well, I got my guaranteed money. Dog, I'm an accounting major. There's something called deferred revenue. That means money that you have collected, but you haven't serviced the goods or you haven't done the work yet. So it's amazing how they already count the money that he made this year without him playing. Like, he already put that in the bank. Like he don't have to show up and perform for that. Nah, bro, you still got to do the work. Get out there for those fans that paid to come see you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if these young men understand that, son.
It's one of my issues with the whole NBA, like the whole culture. It's like it's just changing. It's like the thing, you know, is player movement. Everybody talk about mobility and everybody talking about the ability to do whatever you want. And I just think it takes so much from the game. Like, so much the trade. We're going to be talking about AD all season, where he's going to be. Yo, I just want to see hoop, man. I just want to see hoop at a high level.
Yo, like, just show up and play ball, right?
Yeah, man. I'm not even trying to be a slave master or anything until you play for free. Get your money. Do whatever you do. Take care of your family. You know, make as much money as you can. Why we know you and why we root for you is because you could hoop, man. We just want to see you hoop, dog.
Yeah. But, you know, when I always talk about, yo, I'm a grown-ass man, what that means to me is that I'm responsible for my actions. I understand the repercussions of everything that I do. Dog, if you sign a long-term contract because you want the safety of it, the security of it, the financial benefit of it, you got to see it through.
You got to see it through.
If you want freedom, then sign a shorter-term deal.
Yes, sir.
That is the mentality of a somebody who ain't grown to me. Like a little boy, you want all the pluses, but none of the minuses. AD, if you wanted freedom at this point, you should have signed a shorter-term deal.
You should have.
That's it.
Period.
So when you see him get on TV and bellyache and he not playing, or he only playing 20 minutes, you're going to hurt the league, son. Like, I'm a lifelong basketball. I can't even make it. I don't even turn the league on anymore.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's going to have a rippling effect. It's going to happen again to somebody else. Like, that's how it is. Like, so everybody going to think, like, it's okay. Because AD going to get a max contract, and he's going to get paid and be like, yeah, I'm going to do like AD. I'm going to get my money. And it's like, it takes so much away from the game, like you said. Right. Like, it's ridiculous.
Right.
All these young kids coming up going to be doing the same thing. Kyrie going to be talking about contract. Yeah, I don't want, like, dude, man, you just handle your business. I get it, man. That's where you pay the big bucks for lawyers and agents and take care of that, dude. But come on, man. You guys taking too much from the game, man.
Yo, I'm sure them NFL owners be laughing at the NBA owners.
I know.
Like, yo, you handcuffed by them spoiled little kids.
Even if you watch, you know, you watch The Shop and the show with LeBron on HBO, and then he got Antonio Brown on there.
Oh, you saw that episode?
That's the only one I watched.
Oh, I didn't know if it came out or not.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown AD.
Yeah. And Antonio Brown talking about, you know, what's going on with his situation. And LeBron's like, well, in our league, I was like, damn. These niggas like stunting on him, like, yeah, that shit don't fly in the NBA. Yeah. It's like, and you can see the NBA, the NFL still got a solid foundation. Like, the football, you know, they try to soften it up a little bit, but the foundation of the NFL is still there, which is good. Like, that's why I still enjoy watching football a lot more than basketball. Right. And it was never like that. I was always a huge basketball fan. Right. Like, you know, I think that's, talking about league pass, that's the last time I'm ever taking league pass. Like, this shit is played out, man. Like, I don't think I'm paying $200 for this shit no more, man. It's like, this guy's coming. It's like, they don't care.
Yeah. I think
like, you pay $200. I pay $200, and then you gonna give me a game that you don't play hard, or you sit out, or you play 20 minutes.
Right.
It's like, dude, man, come on, man. Yeah, we all had enough of this.
I don't know, son. I think the league and the players to come are going to have to pay. They're going to pay for the complaints and the belly aching and the inability to perform and stay true to these contracts.
Yeah.
Like, dudes just toss this shit to the wind, and that's bad business. That's dishonorable. AD, the owner of the Pelicans did his job. He maxed you out. Like, perform, bro. Perform.
That's all you got to do.
Got to perform. But that episode of The Shop, I was looking for it, son. What else is up on there?
Yeah.
AD. It was Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, you got 2 Chainz, Meek.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Jared Carmichael.
How was it, man? I never watched that show because I feel like LeBron can't be completely honest about himself. Like, he's not somebody that's going to poke fun at himself. Like, he's going to always put himself in a light like he's the fucking overlord.
Yeah.
It's not completely unbiased. But they
That's the first one, like I told you, the first one I took a look at. But I wanted to see the AD, you know, because it was so fresh. I never heard AD talk about the whole Big Ben stuff.
Right.
You know, I was just hearing speculation. So then, and then he didn't even speak. I was disappointed. You know, it's like a 30 minutes. Right. And then he didn't even say much because they had to touch about on so much things. Like, Meek had to talk about the prison reform thing he's doing. And then it was like AD had to talk about how the fans treating him, you know, how the fans would turn on you. You know, it's like, you all loved me for all these years. And all of a sudden, you don't show me no love no more. And, you know, all this stuff. So I really wanted to get the you know, AB stuff. Right. You know, how you approached it. But he only talked about it for like 2 minutes and he was done with that. Then they went into the whole, you know, the fans treating, you know, booing AD and stuff like that. But, yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It's funny because my sister's a huge basketball fan. She was at my house and she was looking at it and she just walked out for like, nothing going on here.
Yeah, that thing is just highly produced. They're never going to say anything controversial.
They don't push the button like that.
Nah. Shout out to LeBron, though. Get your money.
Yeah.
Speaking of LeBron, D.A., LeBron James' first year in Los Angeles. It looks like his team is not making the playoffs. Last night, he passed Michael Jordan for number 4 on the all-time scoring list. Give me your thoughts, man.
You know, I seen this coming. Too much hoopla. Like, it was too Hollywood.
Too much Hollywood or LeBron? You see them not making the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that.
Come on. Before LeBron got injured, they was number 4 in the West.
Let me tell you why. When LeBron got injured, I was like, okay, they're not coming back from that. Like, LeBron was coming up, showing up to the games, every game with a glass in his hand with red wine, and I was like, he was coming to the games with a glass of red wine, you know, sitting on the bench, chilling. He was coming in. I was like, dude, if I'm not playing, I'm still talking to my teammates. I'm in your ear. I'm telling you, he would come in half, you know, coming at halftime, or he would leave at halftime. I was like, yo, like, LeBron's just not in. I told him, my friend, you know, Glenn, he's a huge LeBron fan. I was like, yo, LeBron's just not interested. It's like, how you show up to the game with a red wine, with a glass of red wine? It's like, why are you doing all this for? You know, it became a thing. Like, a couple,
Hold on, D.A. Not making the playoffs, son?
Yo, I'm telling you. And
yo,
then,
when he went injured, they was fourth in the West. All right,
yeah.
Come back. They 2-3 games out of the eighth spot. He couldn't make up that ground.
Nah, but remember, it was early in the season.
Okay.
And, like, the Rockets was the 14th. So right. They were struggling. Like, everybody was trying to find their ground. Like, you know, OKC came out through a slow start, and then PG picked it up. So then a lot of teams started. Utah was struggling.
Right.
So a lot of teams was not playing their best basketball. And then, you know, the season goes along, people start getting better. Then he got injured.
Uh-huh.
And they, not even him, then B.I., Brandon Ingram got injured, then Kuzma, then Lonzo, who was, like, they was actually playing good defense. They were just not being able to close the games. Right. It was, like, close games. They went 6-12 without him. But it was, like, close games. Like, they lose a bunch of close games because they had nobody to close offensively.
Right.
But then he came back from injury, and he's like, they got a defensive problem now. Nobody playing defense.
Do you think, because there was some talks there that Anthony Davis might get traded to the Lakers.
Yeah, all this.
Do you think when that fell through that LeBron might have got it deflated? Can a three-time champion, because somebody many people think is the best player in the world, could he have got deflated and disinterested just through the season? I mean, there's footage of him getting pushed by Kyle Kuzma the other day to play defense.
Yeah. You know, on that video, I'm going to defend him, though. It was actually, because his man went on top. And then Kuzma man went and was on the top, and he slid down to the corner of the court, and then Kuzma had to pick up because the ball swung to him. So, but LeBron was going to his man on top, so he went in the way of Kuzma. So Kuzma just pushed him.
Okay.
So it wasn't really, but he don't play defense for the last 5 years now. So I'm not even defending his defensive, you know, ability no more. It's gone now for the last couple of years, but yeah, man, it's just. A lot the trade stuff was too much. Like, you talking about a whole bunch of kids from, you know, Kuzma, 20-year-old guys, Kuzma and B.I. and Lonzo. And all them kids are 20-year-old driving a Bentley in Hollywood, man, living in Cali. Then all of a sudden, every day they gotta pick up their phone and go on Twitter and say, yeah, they're getting traded to New Orleans. Like, that have to mess with you.
So you think it's on the trade talks, what it did to the guys around him?
Not everything. I think it threw him off. Mm-hmm. You don't think it threw him off? You don't think it would bother you? Think about moving?
Honestly, me personally, nah, man. If the hardest part of my day is I have to pick which NBA team I'm going to play with, that will not affect me. But I want that wouldn't affect me. And it's disappointing if that's really what took place. And if that's the case, if that's the theory that the trade talks...
They didn't play better after that, though.
Exactly. They should have played better after. After it came out that they would not be traded.
And they'll be there, yeah.
They should have performed better. But I want to ask you about LeBron James passing Michael Jordan for number 4 on all-time list.
I mean, you play a lot of games. You're going to eventually pass a few people.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And, yo, this is one issue I had when I was coaching, right? When I talk to young people about success is not just an arbitrary number, right? To me, success is maximizing your potential, right? You got to give me some context. So if I look at the board, I see LeBron James above Michael Jordan. Like, out of context, oh, maybe LeBron was a greater player than Michael Jordan. It doesn't take into account that Michael Jordan played 3 years of college basketball, right? While LeBron James was in the league at 18. It doesn't take into account that Michael Jordan retired 2 times.
In his prime.
Once in his prime. Both of them was both in his prime.
Because he won championships both times.
Right. After championships. It doesn't take into account of all that. So when I see him pass Michael Jordan, that's just a longevity thing.
Yeah.
That ain't that.
I mean, Jordan is the only player averaging 30 points a game. NBA history. If you want to get down with it. Like, if you want to really say LeBron's a scorer, or Michael Jordan as a scorer, then you're going to lose every time. Because Michael Jordan led the league in scoring 10 times. Like, you know, you can't compare him as a scorer. And if you're going to have to say the same thing about Karl Malone then. Karl Malone have, like, at least 6,000 more points than Michael Jordan.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the whole Michael Jordan, LeBron, you know, people make fun with it. So, you know, but in terms of you...
But those arbitrary numbers. And when I was coaching, I would tell these kids, like, yo, you got to do a better job rebounding. One kid told me, yo, but coach, I had a double-double. Dog, forget arbitrary numbers. Had you boxed out on every play, you would have had 19 rebounds.
You would have 20,
yeah. Yeah, forget about the measly 10 that bounced your way.
Yeah.
Had you handled business and done the right things, you would have had 19 of those. So it's about the process. It's about doing the right things. It's about maximizing your potential. It's not just an arbitrary number. Right, yeah. And I've always hated that conversation when they try to pit LeBron versus Michael Jordan. It ain't even that close.
Yeah.
But with LeBron, he got booed the other day. Like, the media is really coming down hard on him.
For the first time.
For the first time, yeah. Finally. The media is coming down hard on him. And I think this is a product of the underachieving that he did in the beginning of his career. In his prime, when he was the man. Right, he shouldn't be in a position where in his 16th year of his career, he's still talking about, man, I trying to get close to six rings. Shit. Right? You should have been doing that when you was in the Miami Heat winning MVPs, you was a physical force, and you let Dirk steal a championship.
Yeah.
Or you let Kawhi steal a championship. Right? So for you to be in this point of your career where the LA fans are still booing you, that's a product of you not handling business when you was the guy. Yo, DA, I liken it to like an older rapper trying to still snatch a hit record like one of these young kids. Like, Jay-Z shouldn't be trying to have the number one track like 21 Savage. Like, he's in another leg of his career.
Yeah.
LeBron James is the old guy at the club still trying to get a ring off. Nah, bro, you should have had your championship stored away, and now you just enjoy the twilight of your career.
That's why even when the Lakers thing happened, you said you was happy because it was like it was a family thing. It wasn't, you know, really basketball, everything basketball. Like, LeBron's not chasing no ring. It's wrong, though. He actually chasing rings.
He is trying to chase rings.
He's trying to get people to come play with him and all that. Like, dude, that's another thing.
Yo, you shouldn't be at that stage.
You came in LA. You know what they got there. Right. A whole bunch. You know they're trying to grow.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, you want to kick all these kids out of L.A. to get some players in there. Like, dude.
You shouldn't be at that stage.
You shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be. You should have handled business on the front end.
Of course.
When you was the man, when Jay-Z was in his prime and he was winning Grammys, like, you got to kill that era. You got to kill it because you only got that small window.
You can't lose to Dwight Howard and Turkaloo. Like, all of a sudden.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Like, you can't be losing to Dwight Howard and Turkaloo and in five games. Like, come on, man.
When LeBron was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he lost to the Magic. Yo, you're absolutely right.
Five games.
You're absolutely right.
You can't be scoring 15 points, you know, against the Celtics. You know, old KG and old Paul Pierce. Like, you're supposed to be kicking butt, man. These are the things, like you say, come back and bite you now. You're going to be near 17, 18, you know, chasing championships. Yeah. And, like, it's gone, man. Like, the whole league. And people, if you realize, like, it's not even a thing no more. Like, PG passed on playing with LeBron to stay in OKC.
Paul George.
Yeah. And then Jimmy Butler and all them guys, they're trying to do their own thing. Kawhi trying to do his own thing now. Like, he's not trying to, you know, patch up in the whole, you know, KD saying that the environment is toxic.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, Kyrie left.
Right.
Even though he gave him a call back. But I won't put nothing to that. I was like, yo, now you don't look too good by championships, man. You should be, I guess, should be in the mogul stage now.
Yes, yes.
He should be handling his business.
Yep.
You know, like it is, his family, and you know, championships. You play hard, but you came to LA, bro. If you wanted to win a championship seriously, you should have went to Philly then.
They never ever gonna boo Kobe Bryant.
They never. Even when Kobe was old man,
they will never. And
Michael with the Wizards
never boo him. Like, that was disrespectful. They were taking a stab, not just for your gameplay that night.
Like, for the whole but yeah.
Your underwhelming career to this, the celebration that you've got compared to what you've accomplished.
It's like a fraud. Like, yeah, man, like, whatever, man.
It's been finally revealed. Yeah. Like, this guy. Kobe Bryant, when he had the mantle, he killed everybody.
Yeah.
Five chips, 81-point games, everything.
Even when LeBron came out like after the All-Star break, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go into kill mode, like playoffs mode.
Activated.
Yeah. I was like, dude, you should have been in kill mode from day one.
And then
like,
what is wrong with you?
Like, that's a thing, too, I don't get. Like, you never hear Michael Jordan be like, yeah, it's playoff time now. I'm about to play hard. Come on, man. Like, Michael Jordan was 40 years old playing for the Wizards and scoring 50.
And we appreciated every minute of it.
And he led the NBA in minutes played.
Because when he was the guy, he maximized everything. LeBron is the old guy in the club. He's the old rapper still trying to get a hit.
Yeah.
Wearing his baggy jeans.
And it's funny that he tried to embrace like all of these young cats. Like, all of a sudden, he's over D Wade and Chris Paul and on Melo. Yeah, it's Ben Simmons time. And, you know, I was like, dude, man, come on, bro. Like, it's okay, man. Like, you did a good job. You know, you had an amazing career. Just get over with it, man.
Yo, the next couple of years is going to be in. It's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough for him, son.
Because next year, he got 4 years. 1 year is already done. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's really a rebuilding process.
Right.
Like, if you're going to trade everybody, it's a rebuilding process because you're going to have to find pieces. Like, Rondo is not coming back. Mm-hmm. All these guys on 1 year contract. So there's nothing to build there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So next is going to be a wash. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to look on his third and his fourth year. We're talking about his 18th and 19th season. Mm-hmm. Talking about retirement, man. I don't know. I wish him all the best, man.
Bron, though, man. He's still chasing that hit. Bron, you should not be at this stage of career. The conversation about you should not be, yeah. Yo, can he win a championship? Can he catch this legacy?
Yeah.
Bro,
I told, even like a year ago, I was telling my friends, yo, that Jordan ship sailed like a long time ago.
Sailed, man.
Like, I don't know why you guys talking about. Like, I listen to, you know, the few shows here and there. I hear Shannon, you know, and Skip going back and forth. And I was like, yo, what are they talking about, man? Like, I actually seen like Michael Jordan play. I'm not seeing LeBron. Mm. Like, you can't compare. I think it's close. Like, LeBron's biggest probably rival was DeMar DeRozan. you imagine, you know, Michael Jordan playing DeRozan every year?
Yeah.
Every season? Nah, man.
It's going to be ugly, man, because he ain't trying to let it go. But like I said, he shouldn't be at this stage of career, and we still talking. He should have been stored all his chips away. Now he just get his money and just pad them stats. But it's going to be a rough couple of years, man. The media is finally starting to turn this back, or tell the truth, rather.
Yeah.
And the fans gave him a nice booing the other day in his home gym, which is crazy. I want to switch gears real quick. I want to talk about this young boy, Zion Williamson. Now, last year, I took my first trip to the Caribbean islands, man. I went to the great country of Grenada.
Yes,
shout out
sir.
To my man, Freddie Thomas. Had me out there. And the thing I first recognized was how respectful those young people were, man. It was yes, sir, no, sir. Just real understated, unassuming people, man. Quiet, calm, just appreciative. And that made me think of my brother, D.A. Because for the most part, you know, D.A. is a monster on the basketball court, but he's not somebody that's going to talk back to coaches and give them hell and roll eyes. He show up to practice. He working his ass off. Just, you know, the real island vibe. Unassuming. And I wanted to ask him about the Zion Williamson situation, him personally, right? Because Zion, he hurt his leg the other day, and you hear people talking about, yo, son, he should sit out. The NBA is just around the corner, this payday he's been waiting on. So, D, I want to know what you would do personally, not what you think Zion would do, but here you are, you're at Duke University, the NBA is right down the road. You going to sit out, or you going to return to the Duke Blue Devils?
Man, I'm definitely playing. Because I would want...
But DA, the NBA, what we've been grinding for 18 years is right around the corner. That pot of gold is right around the corner, son. Why you going to get on that court and play for free?
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there anyway. And you know, it's funny. Injury, if I wasn't playing, I wouldn't be playing from the get-go. Like, I would have... No, I'm going to... Because I knew he was going to, you know, go to the league regardless.
Right.
So he could have did a different route. But I just don't think, like, you actually play. You actually make, you know, bonds with your teammates. And you guys actually have dreams and goals of winning the national championship. And then you got a little minor setback. And it was like, you just got to wash all this shit away. That's going to be hard. Like, you don't wake up every morning July.
See, that's that island vibe, that responsibility. You talking about to your teammates and stuff. That's beautiful. But if somebody's in your ear like, yo, F all that, D, we got to pay bills.
Don't think he's going to be able to pay his bills if he comes back to play? I'm just saying, he's going to be able to pay his bills anyway. Like, he's going to be the number one draft pick. You know, if he plays, he's not going to hurt his draft stock. I will play. It's hard to just sit there and not play, man. I look at basketball. I go to your game, even when I came to the Brooklyn games, and I look at it, and I want to play.
Right.
I'm not even in shape. I'm just sitting there looking at it and be like, man, I could play.
The interesting thing about that conversation to me is people act as if those two options are not cohesive, as if it's either one or the other. Either you play or you go after the money. They don't realize that playing is going after the money.
Yeah.
Right? College basketball, the national tournament, the NCAA tournament has made people famous.
Yeah.
Has made people money. Coach K was just some guy who was coaching a team. We started to take notice when he started collecting those NCAA championships, right? How many people are making a living today based off of what they did in that NCAA tournament? You become famous overnight. So people talk about, oh, he's playing for free. I'll give you somebody from that very school, Jay Williams. Jay Williams is a two-time national champion. He pays his bills because he played for Duke University on that stage. He's an ESPN analyst because of what he did when he was, quote-unquote, playing for free. Zion Williamson had the option to go to China to make money, the option to go to Greece, to go to the D League. He went to Duke for a reason, for that stage. So I'm amazed at people like, yo, dog, you got to protect. Dog, this is another stepping stone to get into the bag.
Yeah.
There are many people who are earning. Every time these college championships come around, you see commercials. Oh, I remember that guy. You see the O'Bannon brothers. College football, you see guys like Doug Flutie. They weren't major pros, but we know them from college. Vince Young is still cashing in on what he did that night at Texas versus USC.
Man, a lot of people, man. A lot of people. I don't have a problem going after the bag.
Right.
Like, I support the D-League. But if that's what you want, like I said, it's a mental thing. If that's what you want, you go get it.
You can't pass up on the stage.
Yeah, but if you want to play in the NCAA tournament, like,
that makes people famous, bro.
It does.
You become a star overnight. You will cash. You could sign autographs, Hall of Fame. If you don't do anything in the NBA, this is another network that you could tap into.
Yeah.
One of the Brooklyn. Go ahead, D.
I just remember, when I was in Mansfield, because I played ball in Mansfield, Pennsylvania, Billy Owens was still a star, man.
Billy Owens, a Syracuse guy.
Syracuse, like my roommate
He played for the Golden State Warriors for a little bit, but yeah, he's mostly known for
college.
Being yeah.
And he would go up to Syracuse, he's still a superstar. Like, he came down to see Lavelle as his son, who played with my teammate. It's in the first Syracuse tracksuit, Mellow. I was like, damn, Billy's still doing it. Came to the graduation with a stretch limo, a caddy limo. Yeah. I was like, man. But I know he ain't had a prolific NBA career, right, but he killed it in college.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand when people say it's one or the other. No, playing college ball is another freaking step. It's another step closer to the bag. It's not going to prevent you. It's another thing to add to your resume. Shit, look at me. I played 4 years of college basketball. And next thing I know, I'm getting a coaching gig. It wasn't the most lucrative thing, but it's still a step.
That's where you got it from, yeah.
Right. And there's guys who, Brooklyn's own, Sebastian Telfair, a legend around here. I wish he had a college network he could fall back on.
Let's imagine if Bash went to St. John's.
Yeah.
You would have shut the city down.
That's what I'm talking, like, that thing is valuable.
Yeah. Chris Mullin came back and coached St. John's.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm amazed when people act as if it's one or the other, as if they're not actually one and the same.
Yeah, but I'm rooting for Zion, though.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
I hear people talking, yo, kid, man, do what you do, man. Hoop, man. Do what you love. And it's okay. If you don't feel comfortable playing on your knees and you're scared, do what you do, man. They're stupid, man. He could have played a healthy college career, go to the NBA. The first game, he get injured.
Right.
Never play a game. Right. Like, so look at Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Like, injury just bothered him till he retired, man. Yeah. So anything could happen, man. Just enjoy yourself, man. You a kid, man. Be a kid, man.
And speaking of that network stuff, Greg Oden, who played for Ohio State, I think he's back on our campus doing
– Yes, he is.
Working with them. So
yeah.
That's just
he
another –
He went back, got his degree and everything.
That's another feather in your cap, man. I hate when people just talk about – You came to Duke for a reason, man. Just finish it out, and it's not going to prevent you from getting any bags. I got a few.
Patrick Ewing, another thing, couldn't get a coaching job his whole life.
Would he go back?
Judgetown,
his alma mater.
Yes, sir.
Another network. Few more things I want to get into real quick. Robert Kraft got caught up in some, I guess, his prostitution ring.
Yeah.
What do you think should happen here? I don't want to talk about the legal aspect because that'll take its course. But let's say he's cleared of all charges. But, you know, you had this embarrassment. And I hear people talking about, yo, suspend him, fine him. Like, what do you think they should do with owners when it comes to punishment like that? Jim Irsay had got a 6-game suspension when he was found with his drugs. Like,
yeah, but what is a 6-game suspension for an owner, though?
Exact, yo, DA. Yeah. That's what I'll be wondering, son. People always talk about, yo, you got to suspend. Yo, dog, the owner's one of one in the organization.
Yeah.
Like
you don't even have to come to the game. You can watch that shit on the big screen TV.
So we're going to suspend the owner, but we got a payroll issue. Who we going to turn to?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I liken it to punishing your parents. Like, if your parents did something wrong, all right, mom, you punished. No driving for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. How we going to get to school? You know? Like, I read an article one time in the Huffington Post. It said, things smart people never say. And one of the things was, yo, it's not fair. Yo, life ain't fair, man. That is the power dynamic. That's what we all subscribe to when we endorse capitalism. That's why you work to get in those powerful positions. It's not the same as what would happen to a player. It's just not.
It's not.
So when I hear people clamoring, oh, he should get 6
they
games.
They don't do the same thing as a player.
Come on, son. Like, yo.
Like, he owns the team. Like, he's not a player. Like, why you wanting to be the same thing as a player? Like, are you the same thing as your boss? Like, that's why you have a boss.
Like, it's just not the way it's going to be, man. Like, if he's not.
It is what it is.
Let the man sit in his box. Whatever. It's a done deal. But what else we got here? How many were we at? 46 minutes. Real quick. D, I texted you the other day. Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper signed a 13-year deal for $330 million.
Ooh.
When you saw that, you thought what?
I just think it's good for baseball because baseball needs more stories. Baseball needs more superstar. I think Bryce Harper, like, I saw he broke the jersey sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 24-hour jersey sales, it's a record in all sports,
right.
Which is cool. I just think baseball needs the air out again. Like, Derek Jeter, like, I just think they lost a little bit. You know, they just...
Yo, D.A., it's interesting that you thought that. And I remember when I texted you, I said, D.A., what do you think of this deal? And you said, heavy, heavy. And I left it at that because...
That's a lot of money, man.
I totally disagree. For one... He didn't get signed until halfway through spring training, right? The owners put their foot down like, yo, we not giving these mega deals. Now, to the layman, this is a mega deal, but I'll explain it a little bit longer later. Manny Machado, these were supposed to be the biggest free agents ever, and ownership made them wait until halfway through freaking spring training.
Spring training is around right now.
They weren't clamoring. Like, when LeBron and these boys hit free agency in the NBA, they phones ringing at midnight. Those deals get done ASAP. Max deals on the table. With Bryce Harper, we heard all different type of stories that owners didn't want to give him what he wanted, right? But finally, he got a deal in Philadelphia, which technically makes him the highest paid contract ever, but it's not by much. Right? Giancarlo Stanton signed a 13-year, $325 million deal in 2014. So that's only $5 million less than Bryce Harper. When you think of inflation,
the value, the money.
That's not much progress.
No.
When you think of Bryce Harper being one of the most talented players at a young age in his prime, that's not really a deal that blew my socks off. And I think that's Major League Baseball ownership saying, listen, y'all not going to hoodwink us again. We gave A-Rod that money multiple times.
Twice. A-Rod got two.
We gave A-Rod that money multiple times, and look what he did to us, right? I think that's Major League Baseball saying, yo, we going to suppress this market a little bit more. Another piece with Bryce Harper. He signed for 13 years. Dog, that's a long time for a player, right? Money is going to change 100 times between now and then. So that is a team-friendly deal. That puts him about $30 million a year. The Los Angeles Dodgers offered him a four-year deal, paying him $45 million a year. He technically has the highest contract in baseball history, but not per annum. Had he signed that Dodgers deal, that's the biggest money ever per year.
Yeah.
Right? Now, he wouldn't have had the longevity, the safety and security, but so what? In a sport where you don't get that injured, 4 years from now, he would have been 31 years old. D.A., that's baseball prime.
He could have got another 10 years.
He would have caught it. Why did he sign that deal? I'm puzzled by that. Did he want the crown of having the highest deal in sports history? Maybe.
Somebody going to take that like in the next year and
Mike
a half.
Trout's gonna, but I was surprised that the young – he didn't take a chance on himself. If you tell me, yo, Will, I'm going to give you $45 million a year for the next 4 years.
To play in L.A.
And when you're 31 years old, still in your prime.
Yeah.
You're going to hit the market again? Dog, I'm taking a chance on myself.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when I first saw that deal. I'm like, yo, that is puzzling to me. Why these kids don't want to take a chance on themselves? I couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe it. To play in L.A., you the Las Vegas kid with the beard and you
he's a rock star.
The colorful rock star baseball player.
He like the only, like I know you like the Judge, but he like the real superstar in the league. Right. Like he got the LeBron type swag. Like I'm happy for him. Like I'm happy for baseball. Like that's a superstar. I hope, you know, he propelled him to where baseball really was. Like, you know, bring it back up.
And I just thought that deal wasn't, because I went back and looked.
A-Rod, yeah, I understand.
A-Rod signed for $275 million back in 2008. Like, yeah. With inflation, that really.
And even before he had another $200 mil, like, A-Rod had two huge contracts.
That was just surprising to me, right? So that's what I thought when I first heard it. Then I was doing some research today, and they talk about taxes might have played a part in him opting to go to Pennsylvania. And I got this article from Yahoo Sports, and it says, it looks like California tax rates, which are some of the highest in the nation, may have cost the San Francisco Giants their shot at MLB talent Bryce Harper. The 26-year-old professional baseball player agreed to 13-year, $33 million with Philadelphia. But the Giants offered him 12 years at $310 million. But had he played with the Giants, what do I have? Had he played with the Giants, he would have only pocketed after taxes $161 million. But with the Phillies, he's going to make close to $184. Now, I thought this was interesting because people talk about they don't like politics with their sports. But this is due to California's high tax rate. And the article goes on to say that is the same tax rate that Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is proposing in New York, right? One of the same reasons that Amazon backed out of moving their headquarters to Long Island City.
Yep.
So I just found that interesting that, damn, son, everything does matter.
Like,
even who you vote for.
Yeah.
And what they call that is the brain drain effect. Like, when talented people are in a place where their value is being cut short, they run for cover. So Bryce Harper was like, yo, y'all going to pay me $300, but y'all going to tax me at this clip?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm going to go to Philadelphia. So that was it. It all matters, man. Even who you vote for Congress can affect your favorite baseball team.
It's a big deal.
That's all I got. D.A., what else you got?
It's good to be back here, man. We got to do this shit more often, man.
I ain't got no job now, so I got more time. Yo, that's WBH Radio for my man Derrison Anthony.
Yes, sir.
I'm William Holly. We out.